The David Madeira Show.
David Madeira.
On 94.3 FM, The Talker.
Good morning, folks. Welcome back. 7:07 on The David Madeira Show. You are at your island of sanity in a sea of uncertainty. And we are attempting to prove that logic and morality can also be entertaining. Our next guest has just recently written the book, Yahweh Exists. Jodel Onstott joins me now. Jodel, welcome to the program.
Good morning, David. Great to be with you.
It's great to talk to you. We had some consequential decisions from the Supreme Court last week, and I think they tie in to your new book, Yahweh Exists. One of the things that struck me about both decisions was their willingness to bend the meaning of things that have long been understood to fit a new reality. Why does your book, Yahweh Exists, relate to that?
You know, the American government was founded on biblical principles. And even in the context of the American founders, some of them being deists, it still had a biblical and constitutional foundation that resonates entirely with a biblical worldview. And so when you have new powers or you have new laws that come to being that challenge traditional values, a switch that really demonizes the traditional values and replaces them with new ones that subvert the rights and freedoms of the native population. In Scripture, God gives us a lot of tools and a lot of laws within the Israelite Constitution that prevents that type of scenario from happening that we're facing today.
Jodel, I want to back up a little bit because I think sometimes when people hear biblical worldview in the 21st century, they think, well, that's good for you, but that has nothing to do with me. But a biblical worldview isn't just about religion, right? It's about how we relate to each other, the world around us, and eternity.
It really is. You know, there's this myth, and this was one of the, I think, where our founding fathers erred. And it's the idea that politics and religion are separate. When you read through the Old Testament, you discover that many of the prohibitions or many of the regulations have nothing to do with religion. They have everything to do with politics and establishing the rights and freedoms of society. And I think that, you know, as we've seen with this recent Supreme Court decision, you find that when they are separated, the government then becomes almost a religious institution, and it begins to oppress people within the society as it attempts to change those principles and those precepts that were there to protect society.
So, the
whole idea that there is a separate worldview, no, they're really one view that encompasses each other.
Yeah, so what are some of the elements of that view? One of them, of course, is, I think, the idea that rights come from God. That's a critical idea in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, that the rights come from God, which, of course, takes them out of the realm of human judgment.
It really does. You know, throughout history, when you look at ancient societies, there was always this idea that rights came from the king. There was no rights that existed outside of those that were mandated by the government. So the document that our founding fathers wrote regarding human rights as being these basic rights that simply existed because they held that it coincided with this universal law of nature. And they also believed that the Old Testament Constitution, or the Old Testament law, paralleled this naturally occurring law where there were simply these rights that existed. They were God-given, but they were also natural. They were just simply there. And now with what the government is doing with its recent decisions is it's saying that all rights are not there. Rather, we will dictate and we will decide what rights you have. And by doing that, they step into a place where it again serves to oppress and limit freedom.
Jodel, one of the challenges that I continue to run into, and this is true not just on social media but in real life, is, and I thought David French wrote very, did a great job of explaining this over at National Review last week, is that there is a compulsion, it seems, among people of faith to get along. There is a there is a belief, there is this underlying belief that if we just find ways to work with them, if we just find ways to, quote, compromise, that we'll get along, that they'll, okay, great, we got gay marriage, now it's over. That isn't really the case, is it?
Not at all. It's a very slippery slope. What you find is that the more you give in, the more that it's taken. I equate it to dealing with a three-year-old child. The child will whine, throw him a temper tantrum, you give in to him, and the next time the situation comes about, they expect your same reaction, and if they don't give it, they're going to pitch more of a fit. So the more that you give in, the more that's going to be taken. And unless we stand up for values and principles, then we have nothing to stand on. The old, you know, let's just get along, let's just tolerate, people don't realize what the end result and what the consequence is. They don't look 5, 10, 15 years down the line to see where that type of policy and that type of social behavior leads ultimately.
Folks, it's Jodel Onstott. Jodel, I think a lot of people might hear what you're saying. It certainly feels that way to me, and if I don't think about it carefully, that it's insulting to, you know, analogize a three-year-old child. But in fact, you look at Kennedy's decision, for instance, in the gay marriage case, and that's exactly what it was. It was an ode to love that was completely disconnected from reality, or even Supreme Court decisions from 2 years ago when the Supreme Court decided in the Defense of Marriage case that, hey, we don't have a right. We, the federal government, don't have a right to do this. This is a states' rights issue. And then they flipped around 2 years later and came to a completely different conclusion.
You really did. You know, there's a great danger with government policy being set by popular opinion. One of the issues that our founding fathers had was this idea of mob rule, or rule by an immoral majority that did not understand the consequences of policy. And when we, again, do not make our decisions and make our values and our law and our tort reform, when that does not adhere to a principled value-based system, then we are really left with something that is most, you know, put your thumb up in the air, which way does the wind blow, and that's how we're going to judge, that's how we're going to decide, and that's how we're going to make policy. And that does not make a nation strong, it doesn't make for effective policy, and it really serves to divide, you know, those people that do have the values, those people that do see the consequences, from those that, you know, are just here to party, they just want a good time. I mean, those two entire ways of living are really at odds with each other, but it is something that our society faces today.
It's Jodel Onstott. She is a socio-biblical and historical research specialist. She's just written a book called Yahweh Exists. Jodel, make the case for your book and why it's critical to study God and the Bible and how we came to these ideas in order to be prepared for the future. Because it does feel in some ways, I've talked to a lot of folks who share our values, who say, that's it, I'm done, I give up, I quit.
You know, we see the rights in the Supreme Court decision as one thing that is under attack. The Bible itself is very much under attack, not only with political movements, but also within academia. Most people see, or at least the popular opinion now, is to see the Bible as a sexist and racist document. And there's actually even movements out there to ban it.
Oh, yeah.
So what I did in my research is the first thing that I had to tackle is that we cannot have a lucid discussion regarding the prescriptions and the things that the Bible teaches until we can establish that it's valid. So I spent quite a bit of research and I spent quite a bit of time establishing validity issues with the Bible, whether it's the Exodus. That is one that scholars are notorious for really coming at and saying there's no evidence for the Exodus. There's, you know, it never happened. So I spent quite a bit of time building a case for the validity of the Exodus. Now, you know, we talk about things that are politically correct today. That same environment of political correctness really evades academic studies. When you read the academic material out there, you discover that there is this date that is almost holy among academia, and you don't really challenge that date for the Exodus. But when you get into the material, you discover that, you know, just like with the Supreme Court, they kind of cherry pick the evidence, and they kind of cherry pick what they find as a valid reason for supporting a particular stance. And as you go through that evidence, and you see all the incredible evidence for the stories that are listed in scriptures and the stories that are told, when you see that historical evidence backed up with written documents from other nations, that it's backed up in the archaeological context, all of a sudden it brings the Bible to something that's real, something that has to be dealt with.
So your attempt here is to ground the Bible in historical fact?
Absolutely. The most recent, or I would say the prevailing thought among academia, is that Scripture as we know it, and especially the Old Testament, is nothing but literature. There is no value to it.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, people can go on to Yale University, and they have open lectures that discuss the documentary hypothesis. And when you watch those lectures, they will laugh and they will joke and they will say, you know, the idea that there's any historicity in this, you know, text is just something that's absurd. It's nothing but folklore. It's nothing but tradition handed down. There's no historical value here. So how can you build a worldview? How can you build values on a document that is considered folklore and tradition? So it really begins right there with restoring validity to the text. And once we can say, oh my goodness, this is real, this really happened, you know, it's not something that's man-made, then we can say what values, what principles does it endear my life or our society that we can grow and build from and have a better future and a better tomorrow.
Jodel Onstott just recently put out Yahweh Exists. It's YHWHExists.com. That's her website. I'll post a link to it on our Facebook page as well as in the audio link in today's show notes. Jodel, thanks so much both for taking almost 15 years to write this book, but also to come on the program and talk about it. It is critical, I think, in these times that we get regrounded, that the things which we sort of have assumed were true, we now need to reground ourselves in, because we're in a different era. We're in a what I would call a post-Christian or Judeo-Christian society, and every aspect of every assumption we've ever made is going to be challenged. And if we don't know the basis for those assumptions, then we're not going to have much ground to stand on.
That is absolutely true.
All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break and then